Hazrat Maulana, obviously we look at the role that the ulama and the scholars play in our communities, in our societies, and undoubtedly, as I've stressed earlier on, that the ulama play a very pivotal role, a very important role in guiding the ummah towards the straight path, be it in different fields, alhamdulillah, that the ulama have now branched off into, be it the field of tazkiyatun nafs, or be it in the field of tabligh jamaat, or madaris, or maktabs, or iftar, or darul uloom, be it in the field of social welfare, or in the field of Islamic media in the form of print or radio or other measures, alhamdulillah. So that is there. But if Hazrat Maulana would be kind enough to share some insight as to what exactly should be the role of an alim, of a scholar, especially there are many ulama that are graduating, alhamdulillah, within our country in South Africa, as well as abroad, Zambia, UK, the United States, in all the Darul Ulooms, alhamdulillah. Annually, there are hundreds of ulama that are graduating, and obviously parents that are listening in this evening would like to seek some guidance as to what role should the ulama take in a community and society.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ulama, as far as nasihat is concerned to ulama, I consider myself just an insignificant ordinary student of deen and not in the position to give advice to the ulama at large. However, just to refresh or just to revise my own lesson, I will just try and share a few points which may be relevant at this stage, and because we have a large number of people who are listening, they are not ulama in that sense of the word. So therefore, what I have to say to the ulama at large is that the public have got a certain image, or they have got a certain expectation. They want to see the ulama as role models, as examples. They want to see them guiding according to the Quran and Sunnah, and they want to see them playing a very active role in the affairs of the community and being pillars of strength and pillars of light and nur and pillars of hidayat or instruments of hidayat. Now, these are expectations that the community has. However, the community, unfortunately, they have got a wrong perception with regards to who is an alim, and therefore they run into a lot of criticism about the ulama. Whereas, if you have to look at the true alim edin, then we can see how they are doing work in the different fields. You will never find them lagging, whether it is in the field of ta'alim or kitab, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's four functions and four duties that we mentioned, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So whether it is with regards to the tilawat of the ayat, and we will say that that means that the teaching of the Quran Sharif and the recitation of the Quran Sharif and the tajweed and the qiraat and everything that goes with it, then when it comes to يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he teaches the meaning of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was a practical demonstration of whatever was in the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in tazkiyah of the qulub of the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, the hearts of the Sahaba ikram. And he made such kind of tazkiyah and purification of their hearts that they reached a stage which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala became so pleased with, that he himself declared the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in as radiallahu anhum wa radhu an. They pleased with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala pleased with them. And of course, hikmah has got many meanings, but it is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So here, when we are talking about the ulama at large, so if you have to look at the real ulama, the true ulama ad deen, those who applied themselves when it came to the studies, they were committed, they were dedicated, they spent the time correctly, they abstained from the vices and evils that are sometimes prevalent in such institutions and in the society, and especially when they go home for the holidays and breaks, they try to maintain the dignity and their position. And after having qualified and graduated, then whether they are serving in the madaris, whether they are serving in the Darul Uloom, whether they are serving in Tabligh and Dawat, whether they are serving in the publications that are taking place, whether it is in the translations of the Quran Sharif, whether it is in the field of welfare and social activities, whether it is in the field of politics, in whichever field, you'll find there will be some ulama who will be real role models, real examples. But the expectation of our community is this, that the alim of today, each and every one must be the Ghazali, he must be the Rumi, he must be the Razi, and this person must have all those qualities that the great, great learned scholars of the past had. That means they must be everything in one. Now, where do you find that? Even if you have to take the university graduate, the person is specializing, whether it is in the field of eye surgery, is becoming a surgeon, is becoming a cardiologist, is becoming a urologist, is specializing in some other field. Then he spends all his time and all his energies and all his strength and power that he has in specializing in that field, and sometimes lifelong after that he is just practicing in that one field. If it's an eye specialist, the person is coming there to him and the person says that I've got problem with my eyes, then it's okay, he will deal with it. But if the person goes to the eye specialist and he says I've got an ingrown toenail, then you say go to an GP. So every person has got his own field. The ulama also, they are human beings, and we are living in this century now, and in this and very, very difficult time. It's times of fitnas, it's time of great corruption, time of great tests and trials, and we do not have the capacity that those great, great scholars of the past had. So you will get one or two here and there, or a few here and there, who will be all-rounders, as we say, that they'll be able to serve in every department, in every field of activity. But the majority of them that will qualify and graduate and come out of these madaris and darul ulooms, then they will specialize in one field or the other. Somebody may become a good mufassir of the Quran Sharif, somebody became a good muhaddis of the Quran Sharif, somebody will take up darul ifta, somebody will go in that field of fiqh and jurisprudence, and others may go into some other field. But alhamdulillah, if they are sincere and if they are alims of haqq, then you will find the effects of their service in the society that they serve. So if there is a weakness that people seem to find in the ulama and their attitude and their approach to matters and the kind of guidance that they should be giving, and they say that ulama are like this and ulama are like this, now this criticism is not valid, because we take for granted that everyone who enters a Darul Uloom, then he is going to be a very great, learned, highly qualified alim. But that is not the case. There are many, many students who come from the high schools, they come into the Darul Uloom, and unfortunately they come with their bad habits from those schools, from those colleges, and they come into the Darul Uloom. Therefore, in the time of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, one student, when he committed some kind of theft in a Darul Uloom, and then the police were saying that what kind of a student this is at Darul Uloom, and he commits theft, he stole some students some item. So Hazrat said that a student of a Darul Uloom does not commit theft. If he was a true student and a sincere and a dedicated, committed student of a Darul Uloom, then he will not commit theft. But what happens is sometimes a thief becomes a talib ilm. A talib ilm will not commit theft, but a thief sometimes becomes a talib ilm. So like that, we have many, many things that are happening in the schools and the outside world, in the homes. You know how many parents, they're very, very keen. My son will become a hafiz of the Quran Sharif. And they will have big, big jalsas also upon the completion of the hafiz of the Quran Sharif by that hafiz. Indeed, the hafiz did his job, and it is to be rewarded. But within the home, there is absolutely no atmosphere. There is no atmosphere at all that is conducive to the practicing upon the Quran Sharif. The parents themselves do not give the child any kind of opportunity to practice. In fact, now, after they have celebrated the graduation ceremony, and they are very, very happy that my son has completed his, and a big party has been held. Then after that, they themselves object to everything, that why are you doing this, why are you doing that? You must be going with the society's trends and fashions and fashion. So what I am getting across to you is that the ulama who are true alims, then they will not have greed in them. They will not bow down before the wealth of any person, before the property or before the gold and silver or before the oil wealth of any person. They will guide according to the Quran and Sunnah, and their whole maqsad and purpose and objective will be to connect people to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and to make them practice on the deen and sharia, Quran and Sunnah. Now in this, there will be a need for the ulama now that their approach must be right. They must be polite. Of course, in an open public talk, sometimes the person raises his voice. But when it comes to individual, even there too, the person must not unnecessarily shout and scream. The raising of the voice, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself did in the khutbah sometimes. His eyes used to turn red, his cheeks used to turn red. So that the voice used to be raised. But that does not mean that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was screaming and shouting, but that azmat of that kalam that he was presenting, the azmat of that khutbah, it was evident in his talk, in his voice. But generally, when we are talking to people on an individual level, or when we are putting a message across, then the worst of all person in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was Fir'aun. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam are being sent to this Fir'aun, but they are told, وَقُولَ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا تَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ وَيَخْشَى. Now here the two Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they are being sent to the worst of person, but they are told that he must speak politely to him.